Today's liturgy provides a very strong reminder of a great need to bring back something into our lives and indeed into our world, something that has been largely lost, namely the concern for the salvation of souls. As Jesus teaches, we can't just let our brothers and sisters cascade off toward the fires of hell by living sinful, worldly lives, and oftentimes not even realizing it. And yes, so there is such a thing as hell. Jesus talks about it frequently. Actually, more often than he talks about heaven, if you look into the Gospels. It's a possibility for us all. Not a possibility that he desires for us, but he wants us to be aware that it's a possibility. And so we have an obligation as Christians to look out for our fellow brothers and sisters, our fellow humans, and lovingly seek to direct them away from sin and darkness. And yes, so there also is such a thing as right and wrong. There is objective right and wrong. Yet only God makes this determination, not us. We can try to make our own truth, but he's the one that really makes that determination. And he reveals it to us in scripture and tradition. Now, of course, our culture adamantly preaches to the contrary with a radical relativism, something along the lines of, well, I have my truth and you have yours, and you know, don't push your truth on me. I mean, come on now, that's not reasonable. Now, this is it's a pretty strong and intimidating force today. It's one that inspires fear. We don't want to go against this grain, right? What's going to happen, you know? Yet, all we need to do is lean on Jesus. As he says in the gospel passage, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So you don't have to try and do it on your own. You can't actually do it on your own. None of us can. We can only do it with him. But he wants to be the leader. He wants to show the way. He wants to give us what it takes to get the job done. He's not just saying, oh, go do this and leaving us alienated, right? Now, in some ways, though, we're putting the cart before the horse here. We got to take a little bit of a step back and realize that we have to pursue conversion ourselves first. Conversion ourselves first so we can truly know right from wrong. Otherwise, we'll go wayward and then we'll go out preaching our own truth, our own version of what we think is right and wrong. St. Paul helps us to avoid this pitfall in today's second reading, as he says that all of God's commandments can be summed up in this one phrase: love your neighbor as yourself. Of course, he gets this from Jesus. Jesus gets it from Leviticus chapter 19, if I remember correctly. Jesus brings it to fulfillment. Love your neighbor as yourself. There you go. That's what it looks like right there. In order to do this, though, what Paul's talking about is you have to first obey the commandments. That's conversion, right? We have to allow the Lord to touch us deeply, and then we can go out and love others the way he loves them. But so Paul, he lists some of the commandments here. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not kill. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. And then he says, any other commandments there may be. Well, he knows full well that there's other commandments. And especially the first three commandments are the most important, the ones that have to do with our relationship with God. That's conversion. The rest of it, the other seven commandments have to do with our relationship with fellow human beings. That's evangelization. Conversion necessarily leads to evangelization. Paul doesn't use those words, but that's kind of the tree that he's barking up here. In short, what he's saying is you need to die to yourself and rise to new life in Christ each day, pursuing a life of holiness, not a life of decadence, and life, not a life of me, 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 not at all. Only when you live this way, dying to yourself, rising to new life in Christ, can you truly love your neighbor as yourself. You have to come to love yourself the way the Lord loves you first. You have to let him love you, right? And then you can go and share that love, that self-emptying love that Christ models so beautifully for us. And this means that you will be committed to helping your neighbors to get to heaven, not just seeking to be a buddy, a nice guy, a nice gal, a yes man, but somebody that when they start to go astray, you say, look, you know, you're kind of going down the wrong path. Let's try to find a different way. But again, this isn't easy. Not easy at all. It's brutally hard sometimes. Nevertheless, we are all called by God to love this way, ourselves, and others. Zeal for souls is such a crucial part of preaching the good news, of living out the good news that the Lord gives us. Now, the prophet Ezekiel receives this tough calling. Of course, he wouldn't have known Christ, but he receives the same kind of a calling in today's first reading. As God commands him, he says, go out to those wicked ones, to those wicked people, and tell them that they will surely die if they don't repent and mend their ways. I'm sure this went over like a lead balloon, right? Ezekiel probably wasn't jumping up and down when God asked him to do this. But notice that there are also consequences, not just for the wicked ones, but for the prophet as well. If he warns the wicked and they don't change their ways, well, then they're going to die, but Ezekiel lives. But if he shrinks back, if he cowers down and doesn't share this news, doesn't warn them like the Lord tells him to, then he's going to die as well. He's got a responsibility for the souls of others as God's prophet. Now we know that Ezekiel did, in fact, obey the Lord. He's one of the great prophets, right? He has one of the longest books is attributed to him in the Old Testament. So he did go out and he spoke against the evils of his time, knowing that these messages weren't going to be received very well by many people. God is also calling each of us to go against the grain today, to be confident and unafraid, to faithfully engage with the difficult issues of our time. And there's many, many, many of them. I'll just list a few here that I'm sure you'll all recognize. Immigration and border control, we could put those together. Assisted suicide, the death penalty, of course, abortion, environmental concerns. There's a whole spectrum of things we could talk about there. Gender ideology, racism, contraception, gun control. These are just some of the biggies, right? We could go on and on and on. But the Lord's calling us to roll our sleeves up and to faithfully go and engage with these issues. But just as we saw earlier, we need to first struggle with and embrace God's teaching on these issues. We have to do that ourselves. That's that conversion piece. Otherwise, we come up with our own truth, our own version of what's right and wrong, remember? So we have to first engage and embrace God's teaching and then engage our brothers and sisters. That's the evangelization piece. Again, conversion necessarily leads to evangelization. If we get it backwards, then it comes out backwards. We get in trouble. And that's when our own truth becomes, we hold up our own truth over God's truth. Yet, no doubt that it's daunting and often uncomfortable to go against the grain. It's much easier to go with the flow, right? Whatever's popular, just kind of, okay, kind of drink the Kool-Aid or don't say anything. You know, you don't want to ruffle any feathers. But friends, this isn't the path to freedom and flourishing. It's just not. And we know it deep in our bones. Therefore, as the psalmist in today's responsorial encourages us, if today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Follow him. Don't follow the wiles of the world, in other words. So, yeah, instead of going down that worldly path, joyfully sing to him. Come into his presence with thanksgiving. Kneel down before him in worship. That is the path to true understanding, the path to freedom and flourishing, all of which comes through loving relationship with God, trusting in him, trusting in his truth, not mine, trusting in his truth. And obviously, our world could use much more of that, right? I don't think anybody of us would, any one of us would deny that. Much more of that and much less of hardening our heart towards God, seeing him as a competitor to our happiness or to our freedom, as an enemy, as an obstacle, but instead seeing him as Lord, as King of the world, as our best friend, as somebody that's always looking out for our good, seeking to lead us to freedom and flourishing. You were not made for comforts, you were made for greatness. That quote is often attributed to the late Pope Benedict XVI. Some people argue whether or not he said it. I don't know. I guess it doesn't really matter. But you were not made for comfort, friends. You were made for greatness, something far greater than comfort. And so what this means in the context of what we're talking about, it means that in order to love one another as God commands, and clearly does, you must reject sin and darkness. Not turn a blind eye. Turning a blind eye, that's comfort, right? Ooh, better not say something. No, I don't know about that. No, reject sin and darkness for what it is. In short, you need to be zealous for salvation of souls. Again, both yours and others. You got to be concerned about your soul. A lot of people just think, well, all I need to do is die to get to heaven, right? That's the only prerequisite. Just got to die. Then it magically happens. No, that's not what Christ teaches. That's not what the Gospels teach. That's not what the church teaches. As we've seen, there are serious consequences for going against the Lord. Much more serious than going against the grain of the world and the worldly values, right? Hell is a real possibility, although once again, God does not desire that for any one person. Not a single person. No, He wants every human being to welcome Him wholeheartedly and then flourish in this earthly life full of the peace and joy beyond all understanding while journeying with Him toward eternal splendor in heaven. Therefore, when today you hear His voice, it's not really a matter of if. He's reaching out to all of us each and every day. When today you hear His voice, brothers and sisters, please harden not your hearts.